What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 16, 2018. I'm Tim Geddes, as always, joined by the busiest lady in the biz, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Tim?
Games, Andrea.
Is that
the proper thing?
You can say whatever you want to say.
I know, but I'm trying to do things right. The people want the first off, what's happening right now? For your first appearance, like officially on the morning show with Nick.
Yes.
And then what some now. This is crazy.
So today on the Kinda Funny Morning Show, at the very end of the show, we were talking to the chat about plans for St. Patrick's Day, because I completely forgot that St. Patrick's Day is this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then we started talking about how I don't think drinking green beer is good. It gets messy, it gets all in your teeth and your fingers, and the food coloring dye is just, it's a hot mess. And so I said, there's nothing better than a shot of Jameson with a pickleback.
Jesus,
and so Kevin,
disgusting,
being the enterprising young individual that he is, was like, I think we have pickle juice and I think we have whiskey. Wait,
so
in the office.
Are we doing this?
Yeah, we should definitely do this.
Kevin, can you do the honors?
I don't know what that means.
I want you to pour the pickle juice. I want people to see you pouring the pickle juice.
Yeah, because St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow.
While I read the housekeeping. I feel like it'd be a fun time for everybody.
Sorry, I'm taking notes, though, so
get it. So while we do that, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We come at you with all of the video game news that you need to know about. You can get it as a YouTube VOD on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can get it as a podcast on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify now. Thank you for all your support over there. The sponsor this week is patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We'll talk about that later. But some previews of a crazy next week that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
GDC, good Lord, that looks... I've never done this pickleback stuff.
You've never done a pickleback?
No, and I'm a little scared.
Kevin, you and Cool Greg got to get one too.
Cool Greg has a history of pickle juice.
Okay, got it.
So next week is GDC, and we have a bazillion guests coming through. Every day, a different guest on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Monday, we have Khalif Adams from Spawn on Me, a very requested
Khalif.
Guest.
Great.
I never met him, but this is exciting times for
everybody.
You're
going to love him.
On Tuesday, the return of NoClip's Danny O'Dwyer.
That guy.
Original Kinda Funny Games Daily host. It's been, the show's lasted long enough that like that does feel like a long time ago. Danny being on the show.
It does. Well, he was only here for like a hot minute.
Yeah. I mean, it was a hot minute, though.
It was a hot minute.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it feels like it was a long time ago. All right, let's do this.
Thank you. For everybody listening, we have poured out, Kevin has very graciously poured out shots of whiskey in the Kind of Funny shot glasses, which I didn't know these were a thing. These are great.
Oh, yeah, kindoffunny.com/store.
And then in the other shot glass is pickle juice. So
I hate Irish whiskey so much. All right, let's go.
But the good news is...
Let's go.
Bam!
What's the point of... The pickle juice is worse than the fucking thing.
Are you okay?
I'm apricotting. Good Lord. Who decided to do that? Now I kind of like the aftertaste, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, it's so good.
Jesus.
That pickle juice is a little... There's a little something in
there.
There's
a lot of pickle in there. Mm. Wednesday, we have Christian Phillips, formerly of Sony San Diego. Thursday, we have Kotaku's Jason Schreier. That's going to be a good one. And then Friday, Easy Allies' Daniel Bloodworth. Oh, man. The hype train just keeps rolling on. I'm sad that means you're not on the show, and I'm not on the show.
I know. I said, Greg, what are you doing kicking me off the show?
Yeah, but hey.
We got special guests coming in, so.
And announcement that I'm making for the first time now, we're going to have a very special guest on Gamescast next week. It will be me, Greg, Jared, and Damon Baker from Nintendo. Damon Baker, you might know as the man that hosts the Nindie showcases over at Nintendo, and we're going to have him come to talk about all of the announcements that they're going to make next week that we'll get to in a second, because right now, let's start with what is... Oh, God. Cool Greg and Kevin doing fucking pickleback shots over there.
Oh, that's good.
It's so good, right?
Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 5 news stories today.
A baker's dozen!
Yeah.
That was good.
With gusto.
That was a whiskey baker's dozen. I'm feeling it. First news story. This comes straight from Nintendo. Like I was just talking about, the Nindie Showcase. We're getting another one. This is, if I remember correctly, the third Nindie Showcase.
At GDC.
First at, or second at GDC. There was one last year at GDC that they announced about 17 games in 17 minutes, and it was just like bah bah bah.
But they did it before the year before too, didn't they?
I'm talking about Switch Nindies.
Oh, Switch specific.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, where they're calling them Nindies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've done indie showcases before.
Because I remember seeing brand, Runbo for the first time at GDC.
Yeah, that was a GDC 2015.
Yeah, and there was a photo. I think, I don't know if it was Jason at Kotaku that took it, but somebody at Kotaku took a photo of us all at the Nintendo event because there was 8 of us all playing Runbo on different Nintendo controllers. Some people had like the Wiimote, some people had the Pro Controller, the nunchucks were being used. It was pretty ridiculous.
The whole thing. But yeah, so the Nindie Showcase happened last year to show off all the Nindies coming to Switch, and that was a week or two before the Switch came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a hype moment, and they announced a whole bunch of them. And then later in the year, somewhere around August, I want to say, there was a follow-up Nindie presentation where they showed up another 15 and kind of gave release dates for some that we hadn't seen. So I'm pretty excited about this. On March 20th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, there'll be another Nindie Showcase highlighting the hottest upcoming indie games for the Nintendo Switch. A couple predictions I have are we'll get some updates and hopefully some release dates on Hollow Knight, Pocket Rumble, Wargroove, and Shovel Knight, the King of Cards follow-up, the final follow-up DLC pack for Shovel Knight. And I imagine Nintendo's going to do one of those. Hollow Knight, available now, motherfucker. And it's going to be awesome.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I'm with this. I'm going to the Nindie Showcase next week. So hopefully we'll high five there.
Yeah,
it'll be good. Blonde nerd will be joining me.
Ooh. Yeah, Kevin will be there,
Kevin,
too.
Kevin, you're coming,
Greg,
too?
Greg will be there. So pretty much the showcase happens at 9 a.m. and they're going to do the whole, like, a direct-style presentation you can watch online. And then after that, at GDC, there's an appointment demo where we get to go and play a lot of the games that they've talked about and talk to the creators, the devs, a whole bunch of cool people, including David Baker, who will be hosting the presentation and then be on Gamescast next week to talk about all these games. It's exciting times. Now my mouth tastes like pickle. And I do kind of like it. Ryan writes in and says, "Hi, Tim and Andrea. With the upcoming Nindie Showcase on Tuesday, will we probably get some release dates for announced games and some reveals of more indies coming to Switch? What indie games are you looking forward to playing most on your Switch?" The reason I put this question in there is because I already kind of gave my predictions. I don't know if you have any to add there. But the last couple Nindie Showcases have a lot of really cool, interesting games that we saw for the first time, like Golf Story. And then there's just a lot of other ones that were like, oh, those are interesting. But it was the big guns, the Rocket Leagues, the Stardew Valleys that everybody was like clamoring for and hoping we'd get. And we got SteamWorld Dig at one of them. We got Stardew in another. Rocket League we didn't get until the E3 Nintendo Direct. But is there any huge get that they could have on the indie side of things right now? Because I feel like they've kind of nailed it.
Well, that's a... Hypothetically, if I was wish listing instead mm-hmm. of what is a realistic potential get, it would be amazing if once Cuphead leaves exclusivity, it went to Switch.
That would be amazing, but I don't think that
I don't know if it's ever going
leave.
To leave exclusivity. Like, I think Microsoft paid a lot for that and they're probably going to keep it forever. But if in a world where we were imagining,
mm-hmm.
Cuphead would be a great game for
Cuphead
Switch.
Cuphead would be fantastic on the Switch, and I would definitely play through it again. If I was a betting man, I would bet that Xbox and Microsoft are going to straight up buy Studio MDHR and have them under their wing as a
that would be a good
owned and
call.
Operated.
That would be smart
if they haven't already, and it just hasn't been announced because we know that Phil Spencer's been out there trying to get more talent on the team mm-hmm. officially that are there for the exclusivity and Game Pass and all that. And with the success of Cuphead and how well it did, not only on Steam, but also especially on the Xbox, like they know what they have there.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, it's like now that Rocket League and Stardew are there, it's like, oh, shit, didn't think we'd get those, but we did. So cool.
There's a lot of indie games that have come to Steam that I would like to see, you know, come to Switch. And there's just so many games that are also coming down the pipeline. Like, especially now with GDC and PAX coming up back to back for us, I'm getting a ton of emails from indie devs saying, please, you know, stop by the Mega Booth, stop by the GDC Showcase, stop by the Mix, all these places where indie devs can showcase their games. And whenever they say I'm publishing to PC and Mac, I'm always like, have you thought about console? Because I would love to play your game on my Switch, or I would love to play it on my PS4 or my Xbox One. I just don't play games on my PC.
Yeah.
I use my PC for editing and for taxes. Recording the show, and no, not taxes. Yeah.
We had amazing guest Mike Bithell. You probably know him from Thomas Was Alone and Volume. He was on Gamescast yesterday, which you can get today if you're a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or on Monday for everyone else. And he really went into what it means to develop games on the indie level in 2018. It was a very fascinating conversation. So I'm excited for you guys to check that out. The next news story, this comes from IGN. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered listing spotted. An Amazon listing for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered has appeared with a release date of April 30th. Interesting.
So soon.
As spotted by IGN Italy, listings for both Xbox One and PS4 versions of the game have been added to Amazon Italy with prices of approximately $25. As with all listings of this kind, this may be placeholder in case a game is announced. The listed release date would indicate an unusually small time between announcement and release. For comparison, the original Modern Warfare Remastered saw a 6-month gap after being officially revealed. If this listing proves to be true, it would seem to indicate that this will be a standalone release rather than a special edition bonus with a new Call of Duty installment. This is further backed up by Raven Software posting a picture of a new wall in their office, and it looks exactly like the Modern Warfare 2 intro cinematic.
I was trying to figure out why they would come out at the end of April. I mean, they've already announced they're doing the worldwide reveal of Black Ops 4 in May, mm-hmm. and then the release date in October. Modern Warfare 2 originally released in November as per Call of Duty's normal time frame. So I don't know why end of April would make sense.
And that pricing seems odd as well. $25. Can you look up how much the Modern Warfare Remastered standalone cost?
Because sure.
My gut tells me that was $40. So maybe this listing is true, but some of
$39.99?
Yeah, that sounds a lot more correct than $25.
Well, it's also older, right? I guess technically not.
Well, Modern Warfare 2 would be new.
It's after.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting. I know a lot of people love Modern Warfare 2, and I know recently it was in the news for the whole airport scene and all of that stuff.
Oh, you mean it was in that terrible montage the White House put out?
Good freaking Lord. But, yeah, that coming back into the...
I think what we're getting at here is that this is not accurate.
Yeah.
I think this is a rumor that has some misinformation.
I think there's merit to it. I think that we will see Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered, but when and for how much, I'm not sure. There was all those rumors about Call of Duty coming to Switch, and it was kind of a shock to see the announcement not include the Switch. And so it's like, oh shit, they're probably either not going to announce it or it's going to be a totally different game.
Call of Duty coming to Switch, probably not. Them releasing the Modern Warfare Remastered for Switch, yes, I could see that.
There's a chance, and it's still not listed here. So there's a lot going on. We'll see. I mean, April's not that far away, so if they're actually going to make the announcement, it has to be sometime soon. So interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but next, you also thought Spyro was going to get announced yesterday.
So here's the thing. Spyro's going to be announced this month. I'm holding on to it. Holding on. Unleash
the
Dragon.
You want to put money down on that?
You know...
Huh?
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Woo! Okay.
How much you want?
$1,000. Hell no.
$20. $20.
I could do $20. So what's the time frame here? You said this month?
March.
March.
I'm saying in the next 14 days.
Okay.
15 days, whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna say no. We won't hear it in the next 14 days.
Like, things change, and I understand that there's been a lot of, you know, moving around and stuff, and there's been a lot of the people that leak stuff that I, and insiders that I trust, got some things wrong. That happens. But there's other people, like the only Spyro news that I was like, this is, I truly believe, was when it first leaked from Laura Kate Dale, who said March, they're announcing it. So the specific time and all that, I was like, maybe somebody knows something more. I'm still sticking to March.
Okay.
And I'm hoping. Worst case, I lose $20. Best case, I have $20 to buy Spyro. Let's go. next news story. And also, before we get to the next news story, can we just appreciate Andrea Renee's jacket right now?
Aww.
It is so distracting how fucking awesome it is.
Thank you.
The blue, it's shiny, it's perfect. Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, next news story. Cyberpunk 2077 might be cross-gen. This comes from Gaming Bolt. I'll read the story. We barely had any news on CD Projekt Red's upcoming Cyberpunk 2077 ever since it was first announced years ago, but we've had a lot more of it in it the last few weeks. What we're reporting on today might be a big one, though. CD Projekt Red's Peter Peter and Adam recently spoke at the Pareto Securities Gaming Seminar 2018 event, and they spent quite a lot of time speaking about the upcoming RPG. While speaking about what Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be like, they showed off a few slides to give snippets of information on the game. One of the slides, which you can see above, mentioned that the game is going to be built on current and next generation technology. The implication, of course, being that Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be cross-gen, that not only launches on Xbox One and PS4, but on the next Xbox and PS5 as well. It went on to have more info and say that, like, there's not really any way that you can misconstrue what was being said there. Like, that's... It is what it is, current and next gen technology. So what's your takeaway on this?
Considering how long the legs were for The Witcher 3, this totally falls in line with that. Because we haven't seen anything from Cyberpunk 2077. So there's nothing to indicate that it's going to be coming out this year or even 2019. So if we're thinking a 2020 or potentially beyond release date, no, did you say no, Kevin?
I said beyond.
Beyond.
Just really late. Oh.
That by the time we get to 2020, it would make sense that they would want to make sure that it could potentially be cross-platform. When you think about like Game of the Year editions or Collector's Editions or all these things that come out afterwards with all of the expansions and seeing how much, you know, post-launch support CD Projekt Red did for The Witcher. I mean, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. It's interesting. A couple days ago, Greg walked in to the office and looked at me. He's like, "So we're getting the PS5 a lot sooner than we think, right?" And then I was just like, "Fuck yeah." And we were like, we need to make this a topic on Gamescast coming up of like, what's our new updated predictions on the next generation? Because 2 months ago when we started 2018, we made a bunch of predictions about stuff and we're like, "Oh, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while." But like, I feel like news just keeps coming out where I'm like, man, maybe we're a lot closer than we predicted and we expected. And like that's exciting, but it's interesting of what does that mean? What is the next generation of games? And with the backwards compatibility stuff that the patents that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, it's like we're starting to see a world where I'm like, oh, I see the place of the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One, Two, Switch or whatever it's called.
I think the overwhelming success of the PlayStation 4 has helped potentially fast track that development because we're at what 75 million units worldwide for PlayStation 4.
Insane.
So why not start looking towards the next thing that you can push out to your community, that the next cool piece of tech, the next piece of hardware. And we've heard rumblings about updates to PSVR and them wanting to put more power behind that and maybe updating the headset and making it, you know, more robust. So what would go great with that? A new console.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting time. Speaking of sales numbers, this is the Tim Gettys Get Hyped rumor corner of nothingness, but people I follow talking about Pokemon and it's predictions. A lot of stuff just they were tweeting today about things they've heard and putting things together. Nothing official, nothing leaked. It's just insiders' kind of predictions and expectations of how Pokemon's
fan
gonna,
rumblings.
Fan rumblings with insider knowledge, and there's predictions that the Pokemon Switch core game is going to be announced, at least like a logo and understanding of what the titles are in the next couple months before E3, and that they're really targeting a November, December release for this year. And it's nuts because when last year, when Nintendo's president came out, was like, "We're trying to ship 20 million Switches next year." I was like, "That is crazy ambitious," and like, that's a nice headline to put out there. But like,
Pokemon could do it. I've always said this:
Pokemon and Switch together. Like, if that's what 2018 is going to end up with after all the other 2018, all the other games that they've been talking about, like the little cannon fodder here. We got Kirby today. We got Mario Tennis Aces. We got all this stuff. Just blah blah blah. Donkey Kong. But to end it with Smash Brothers and Pokemon, I think they can push. With that Black Friday, with that nice
little
20 million units.
Pokemon is the only franchise that I can think of that would be able to propel hardware sales in that way. Mm-hmm. Smash is going to be great for the community, but Smash is not a system seller for the vast majority of Nintendo fans.
You're going to be wrong about that.
No, I'm not going to be wrong.
We're going to see a huge spike on Switch sales.
We'll see a spike, but it's not going to be anything compared to Pokemon.
That is absolutely true.
That's my position.
But the Smash spike is going to be more significant a spike than almost any other game when it comes to
more than Mario.
Nope. Depending on what the Mario is. Not a 2D Mario. 3D Mario. Yeah. It's exciting times, ladies and gentlemen. Get fucking hyped. And speaking of hype, I guess, new Sonic games are going to be announced today, or at least new Sonic projects are going to be announced today. This comes from Sega. Sega are once again having a Sonic panel at South by Southwest. They've been kind of pimping this out over the last couple of weeks. It is today after this show, though, today at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so you can watch the streams. Sega have already promised a look into the future of Sonic, so it'll certainly be a game announcement. It's likely to be a new Sonic racing game, this time starring the full cast of Sonic and Friends, as was leaked previously. Sega also confirmed in the last 24 hours that multiple projects will be announced. I'm hoping for Sonic Mania 2. I think it might be a little too early for that, but it is a smaller title. So if that game sold really well, like, we still don't know real sales numbers for those Sonic games last year. They're just like, Sonic did what it needed to. And it's like, thanks, Sega, for fucking hiding the truth.
Well, I think also, when publishers put out sales numbers, the context around those sales numbers is sometimes hard to interpret. So if they were to put out a press release saying we sold 1 million copies of Sonic Mania, to some people that might be not enough, but to other people that might be a crazy amazing feat. And if they're not comfortable with how the optics are going to be around that announcement, then keep your cards close to your chest, you know? Like, don't announce it. Just say, hey, we had a really great showing with Sonic Mania and are looking forward to the future, and hopefully there'll be more Sonic.
Yeah, and speaking of don't announce Sonic Forces 2. Just please. Just let it fucking die.
Because you've said don't do it, now they will.
No, I believe in them right now, man. They gave me mania. They gave me mania, man. Final news story of the day. A JRPG becomes the first game banned in the UK in over a decade. This comes from IGN. Omega Labyrinth Z, a game that I'm absolutely sure Zyger knows everything about, is a JRPG from Japanese studio Matrix Software and published by P-Cube. Oh, man. We already know where we're getting in here. Mm-hmm. It's been banned in the UK. It's the first title to have been banned in the country since 2007 when Manhunt 2 was refused classification. In a statement from the Video Standards Council via gamesindustry.biz, the game was initially submitted with, quote, a provisional PEGI 16 rating for depictions of erotic or sexual nudity. The game clearly promotes the sexualization of children via the sexual interaction between the game player and the female characters. The style of the game is such that it will attract an audience below the age of 18. Quote, there's a serious danger that impressionable people, i.e. children and young people viewing the game, will conclude that the sexual activity represented normal sexual behavior. There's a constant theme of sexual innuendo and activity throughout the game that suggests behavior likely to normalize sexual activity towards children. The game's publisher, P-Cube, announced that the title would no longer be released in Germany, the UK, New Zealand, and Australia following a rejected appeal by the German ratings board, USK. Speaking to GI.biz, a spokesman said, P-Cube specializes in the localization of Japanese video games and endeavors to publish them as faithfully to the Japanese source material as possible. P-Cube works closely with all-age ratings bodies and platform holders through this process. In an instance where a release is not possible, P-Cube respectfully complies with the guidelines of a platform holder and the laws of any given territory. The Video Standards Council states that the ratings refusal applies to physical copies of the game only, but whether this will have an impact on its digital availability in these regions remains to be seen.
I think this is all you need to know about this game, Tim. I'm playing a trailer in the background, and it shows some graphics.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, so what
they
happens?
They don't give a fuck.
So just keep watching. So what it is it's these.
Oh, my God.
It's these female characters who are wearing clothes. And then in one instance, their boobs just pop out of their clothes. Just the
all
boobs
of them,
are just popping out all over the place.
And the logo is just a lot of boobs.
It's just boobs, which is like, this is not abnormal for Japanese games that are similar to this. I think the issue clearly here is that it's children, they're under
predatory
the age.
And all
yeah.
That. Now, it's interesting because I am a huge proponent of open sexuality and not saying that sexuality is bad and understanding that there is a place for all that. Having said that, there's lines of how things go, and I'm happy that there are boards that are looking at this and trying to make the decisions on what's okay and what's crossing the line and how to best go about it. It's interesting that there's boards specifically about trying to figure out culturally what makes sense where. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like we often kind of get too in the weeds of the thing. We look at this as Americans and are like, this is fucking disgusting. But in different cultures, things are totally different, and we need to be open to that, and understanding that, you know, some things are more acceptable in other places, and who are we to judge? But then having said that, we're allowed to judge when it's here and when it's in or the UK or wherever it is.
Right. And I'm going to just echo the thing that I've always said about sexuality in games. It comes down to agency. There's nothing wrong with sex and sexuality and sexual themes as long as the characters who are involved have agency in those decisions and it's not about repression or violence or forced sexual encounters, which we have seen in some, you know, really terrible games that are out there. And clearly here, the problem is that there's a question, an ethical question of when do you obtain agency as a person? As a 14-year-old, do you have sexual agency? Are you allowed to have sexual agency? And that's obviously a much bigger conversation for another time. But that's clearly why people are upset to say, like, you know, do these characters represent females that are young, that are like 15, 16, and are they being taken advantage of in a sexual way, and does the game promote that? And that those are the themes that are really kind of difficult to kind of tackle and to wrap your head around, because obviously, you know, we as Americans believe in the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression, but we also don't want people to be taken advantage of and people to be put in positions of, you know, sexual violence. So it's better to be hyper aware of it and to have an open conversation about it. Obviously, there's going to be proponents out there, probably people watching the Twitch chat right now or listening to us saying, oh, it's censorship. It's censorship. Censorship is bad. And I agree. Censorship is bad. But if we don't take progressive stances on some of these issues, then the victims are going to continue to mount up. So it's something that we need to be aware of and be able to have an adult conversation about.
Absolutely. And one day we'll be able to have adult conversations. But until then, where would I find all the mom and grab digital shops?
That was the roughest transition in the history of Kind of Funny Games
Daily. I thought it was pretty good, if I'm being completely honest.
Well, Tim, if you wanted to know what was coming to the digital mom and grab shops, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah! Thank you for that. Out today. We're feeling it today. I wonder if it's the pickle juice. I'm going to blame it on the pickle juice.
If you want more, you just let me know.
Yeah, let's get some more.
Wait, really?
I'll take more, yeah.
I'll take one more. Why not? Will you also grab me a LaCroix too, please, Kevin?
Oh, you can have this one.
Okay.
I got her. Out today.
Coffee. I'm done with this coffee.
Burnout Paradise Remastered on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Kirby Star Allies on Switch. I'm actually excited about this because I, you know, infamously not a Kirby guy. Do not really enjoy the Kirby games. I think they're too easy. And I'm staying away from really looking at a lot of footage for this one. I'm like, it's been probably 10 years since I've really given a Kirby a shot. I'm gonna give it a shot. Give it an honest shot. See what I think about it. Splatoon 2 Starter Edition coming to Switch. Tesla vs. Lovecraft on Xbox One. Toki Tori on Switch. And Sweet Jesus, Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse on the Xbox One.
I have to Google this because I want to see what it looks like. Llama Apocalypse.
Another fun thing that is happening as of today, the 8-bit do USB adapter. So 8-bit do, the number 8, BITDO. Good Lord, this fucking llama. That's a real... Wait, what?
Is this some kind of a teaser trailer? I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah, it's a live-action teaser trailer. 8-bit do, they make a bunch of the controllers, like Super Nintendo-styled... controllers or NES-style controllers for Switch, for various consoles, for PC. Good Lord, this game looks insane. Look up Vicious Attack Llama Apocalypse on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. But the 8-bit do USB adapter now supports the Xbox One S controller with your Nintendo Switch. So you can download a firmware update, then you can use the Xbox controller on Switch. That could be pretty cool for certain games, like Celeste. I think that'd be good in Celeste.
Yeah, but why don't you use the Pro Controller?
Pro Controller has its pros and cons.
Too expensive. That's right, Nintendo. That's You're charging too much money for it.
Yeah, but at least you can recharge it and the battery lasts forever, unlike the Xbox controller where it's like, guys, come on, are you fucking serious? Xbox controller costs just as much as the Pro Controller when you have to buy a playing charge kit. It's dumb. What?
I don't know. Double A's last a long time in Xbox One controller.
Yeah, but they're also double A batteries. What are we, in the fucking 90s? Like, oh, I'm so not down. That is like
the... It's better than the DualShock 4, which lasts for like 6 hours and it's dead.
That's solid points. But fucking, I'd much rather a more expensive controller that lasts longer than having to use batteries or having a shitty 6-hour controller. Because you're right, the PS4 needs to figure its shit out.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Oh, I'm definitely ready for this. Look, I hate the color.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking shot number two. Happy
Friday.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yes.
It's tomorrow.
I still don't understand the pickle. Like, why? What's the point of the pickle?
It helps cut the burn of the whiskey afterwards.
I like the aftertaste. It's just, it's like the moment you get it, it's really offensive to your mouth. new dates, Star Wars Battlefront 2 overhaul update. DICE and EA have revealed the sweeping changes being made to Star Wars Battlefront 2's controversial progression system in a new update coming on Wednesday, March 21st. EA is hoping to put to rest pay-to-win concerns by making progression linear, classes, heroes, and ships you in. And ships you use in multiplayer now individually earn experience points. Experience points help you level up, and each level awards a skill point, which can be spent on gameplay-changing star cards.
With the, listen, the passion fruit LaCroix after the pickle juice, after the whiskey is not a good combo. Just calling it. Not a good combo.
There's a lot of taste. It's sweet and sour.
It's weird. I don't like it. I feel like I need some hot Funyuns. Are there any in the kitchen?
And here it is, having fun today. I'm good, Kev. The star cards and other gameplay changing unlocks will not be purchasable with either credits, currency earned through gameplay, or the returning crystals, paid currency. Star cards will also no longer be found in crates. Everything players have earned before this update will remain theirs and unchanged. So, yep, Wednesday, March 21st. That stuff's coming if that means
deals of the day. There is a kind of funny hoodie for $1.99 in the merch store.
That's not true at all. Oh, really?
We pulled it up on the morning show.
Why?
It's the blue one with the weird gray pouch.
The super light one, the workout one?
Yeah.
You passed it, I think.
The kind of funny lightweight hoodie, just $1.99 at
hilarious.
The Rooster Teeth store.
I wonder why.
Only, well, yeah, it's sold out now. In every size except for small.
But $1.99 is like...
Sorry, we don't have any hot
Funyuns.
I can send Cool Greg.
But... No, I mean, literally anything from that pack would work.
Oh, okay.
Joachim, it's time for Read a Mail, brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you do not currently support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, now would be a great time. Just $1 gets you so much stuff. You get party mode a week early, every week for a whole month. Right now, you also get the PlayStation... Excuse me. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
PlayStation VR show, the four episodes of that, and you also get to watch Gamescast live as we record it every Thursday. It's a fantastic time for everybody, and we appreciate your support over there. So thank you.
Oh, man. I guess the Cheetos, yeah.
There's pre and post shows for Gamescast. Those are fun, too.
We'll open those in a second.
Let's read some of these reader mails. It's going to be a short show today, Andrea. I'm telling you right now. There's not too many reader mail. Joachim DeCorte says, how come consumers don't know when a review embargo lifts? Why can't I find out when companies such as you guys are allowed to talk about a game in full? I actually don't have too much insight on this. The best guess I have is that... You know, PR companies have a plan and they have a whole rollout thing, and they don't want people saying things or talking about things too early or trying to make assumptions based on dates and times that review embargoes go up, and like trying to come up with patterns of what it means for the quality of the game.
Right.
But I also think it's they have the plan of who they're going to give game codes to early and what mm-hmm. the review sessions look like. And they don't want to get an influx of emails from every media outlet that doesn't get the same access as somebody else.
That's a big part of it. Also, every publisher is different. So sometimes they will give you permission to say, my coverage is going live at this time. And sometimes they say no. And a lot of that also has to do with different territories getting access to the builds at different times. So for example, if somebody is doing a press tour for a big AAA game, they'll go to Europe and do a press event there. They'll do something in the Americas. They'll do something in Asia or something in South America, Latin America. There's all these different territories for press coverage. And when PR tries to coordinate that, they want to make sure that all of the coverage is going live at the same time. So it doesn't feel like one territory is getting an advantage over another. And making sure that that's coordinated is challenging, and sometimes they need to move embargoes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes embargoes get moved up, which is really unfortunate when your coverage isn't ready, or sometimes embargoes get moved back. And so because of that, they don't want people to say, hey, expect my new preview of X game at this time. Mm-hmm. They have to then move the embargo.
Yeah.
It's tricky. And even like yesterday when Greg and I were both in Sony Santa Monica checking out God of War, we had to ask express permission from PlayStation if we could
do social
tweet
media
that.
Pictures.
If we could say that, hey, we're here. Because sometimes they don't want you to acknowledge at all that you're there, because then they know that the people in other territories are like, mm-hmm. well, what about us?
What about us? And that's the biggest problem yeah. with it. And by the way, I forgot to say this earlier, but on Monday, Greg is going to be giving his impressions of the 2.5 hours he played.
I wish I could be here to talk with
yeah.
him about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you played it too. I'm so jealous yeah. of you guys.
I'm just going to, I think I tweeted yesterday. The only thing I could say was it's magical.
Yeah, that's a good word. I'm liking that a lot. Yeah, I think that even within, forget the different territories, even within one territory, the exclusives game is real. And you don't want IGN to know that GameSpot has the exclusive, because then they're going to be like, hey, what about us? Because the way the different publishers, they all work, they have plans where it's like, okay, we're going to give this to them, we're going to give that to them. And like, these are how we kind of play fair and balance it all out in terms of their minds. And more than that, it's not just PR. Now there's digital marketing. Now it's like there's the PR side and there's the influencer side, and it all gets very complicated. So I think that's why they don't, there's not like some overall thing where all companies always put out their embargo information.
Right.
And I don't think we'll ever see that.
No, never. It's always going to be shifty.
DH Canada says, Tim and Andrea, shoot straight with me. Will Square ever do anything with the PS2 classic, The Bouncer? Remaster, remake, PS2 on PS4, a port on other devices. I don't care. Just give me something, Square.
No.
My boy DH Canada, I'm so sorry. It's not happening. The best chance you have would be a port on other devices, and it would probably be mobile. Square has a weird tendency to just port things to mobile, but they're usually bad ports. So I wouldn't even expect that, though. The Bouncer was such an obscure, weird thing. So much hype for it. It's so little.
Take some, Kevin.
Ron Barron says,
you know,
with
you want more than that. Come back later.
Back. Ron Barron says, with EA allowing people to buy cosmetics directly rather than through a randomized system, do you think this is something that will become more popular long term? It allows companies to continue making money off additional monetization, but without the loot box stigma. Personally, I'd love to see this become the new norm.
This isn't something that isn't normal. I mean, we see this, a lot of games do mm-hmm. this. I have praised Rainbow Six for doing this and how they have so many amazing cosmetic options that you just go in and buy the one that you want. I think that that's a much better system than loot boxes. As much as I love things like the loot llamas in Fortnite, I would much rather buy the customization options that I want mm-hmm. than have to get a random roll and pray to RNGesus, right?
Yeah.
I think we as gamers are unified in that we would much rather just buy the thing we want
to have the option
than to have the random roll.
Yeah, definitely. It is weird to see this kind of just evolve over time, because things used to be that entirely. Like, it was only able to like just buy the things that you want. And then, you know, loot boxes became a thing, and then there was the games that had both. And I do think we're going to shift back to the cosmetic only being a you just pay, get what you want system. And I'm excited about that. I think that it is the right step forward. But that's still going to upset people that, you know, feel like everything should come in the base game and you get it there. No day one day DLC and all that. But that's just not a realistic world that we live in with the cost of game development.
No, definitely not.
Mario himself writes in and says, hi, Tim and Andrea. I know you said after Smash Bros. You can put your Wii U away. However, I think there's still some pretty good games on the Wii U that I would love to see on the Switch. What are the chances of getting any of the following titles on Switch or even a sequel? New Super Mario Brothers U, Super Mario Maker, Wind Waker HD, The Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, Super Mario 3D World, or Mario Party 10. Let's go through those one by one. New Super Mario Brothers U, I'm kind of surprised that we got Captain Toad before we got that. I was definitely expecting a port of that game.
I'm not.
That game plus new
wanna,
Super Luigi's U?
Well, they still want to push sales to Odyssey. Right? You don't want Mario titles competing with each other. So you got to give a little bit more breathing room between when Odyssey came out and when you release the next Mario title for Switch.
I think 8 months would be enough time for a port of these games.
It hasn't been 8 months, though.
No, but if they announced it, but then by June for it to come out.
Yeah, I think that could be a good enough time.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about in the direct.
But you were saying that you were surprised about Toad. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they just announce Captain Toad?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to announce this first. Captain Toad, I was like, I hope they fucking bring it over. I wasn't expecting it. And I thought they were just going to go straight to a sequel in a couple of years. But I definitely, in ports, I thought we were going to get a new Super Mario Brothers U plus Luigi U combo pack. And I still think that we will at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we will. Because if we do, that gives me hope that the next 2D Mario, new 2D Mario is going to have a totally different art style. And that would be fantastic. Super Mario Maker, we will not get a port. We will get a Super Mario Maker 2 at some point.
Yeah.
Wind Waker HD, it really depends on what the virtual console and online system end up looking like. I can see them doing a quick port over of Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD and maybe add a Skyward Sword at some point. But I wouldn't expect it anytime soon. Wonderful 101, I am absolutely shocked, has not already been ported.
Really?
Yeah, with the amount of teases that Platinum Games has put out, including the Wonderful 101 characters in the Switch Joy-Con colors, holding Joy-Cons and stuff. It's like,
They're sending smoke signals to Nintendo? Don't forget about us.
Well, no, because I mean, this is in the early days of the Switch, but like they did all of that, and then eventually we saw Bayonetta 3 get announced and 1 and 2 get reported. So I think we'll see Wonderful 101 at some point, maybe leading up to a Wonderful 102. I think that Bayonetta 3 needs to happen first. Pikmin 3, we will not get a port of that. We will get Pikmin 4. It's just a matter of time before they officially formally announce it, because they've already announced that years ago. Mario 3D World, God, I hope so. I'm a little sad that isn't already there, but that is a perfect example of not wanting to compete with Odyssey. And Mario Party 10, burn it with fire. Let's hope that it never sees the light of day again. They will never port that game. That's not going to happen. That Mario Party 10 is one of the Wii U's biggest flunders, and that's saying something. So we're going to see Mario Party. I'm hoping next year. I meant either blunder or fail. You put them together. Flunder. Mario Party 10. Do you play it, Kev? It's a fucking flunder. It's time to squad up, Andrea.
Wait, hold on. Before we go to squad up, since we have just a little bit of time.
We have a lot of time if you want.
I wanted to bring this up, and I'm glad that somebody wrote in. Philip wrote in and says, I do not know that I gave met anybody. Wait, have is probably what you meant to say there. I did not know that I have met anybody who loved 2017's Prey more than I did. Mm. Yesterday, the 15th of March, Arkane teased more content for Prey. And so I wanted to link an article detailing the tease. And so I'm glad you brought this up, because I was going back and forth whether or not we should cover this.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to cover it yesterday with Jared, and then for some reason
didn't.
We cut that story up.
So let's cover
let's
it right
it.
Now.
Go for it.
Rock, Paper, Shotgun says, we think it's safe to say that more Prey is on the way. Huzzah for rhyming headlines.
I love it.
Yesterday, we reported on a series of increasingly overt teasers coming from Arkane Studios, not so subtly hinting that they're not quite done with the System Shock-ish immersive sim, Prey. Today they dropped almost all pretense. It's March 15th, the day that Prey's story begins. So that was yesterday. Celebrating the pseudo anniversary, the studio got together to tweet out a mysteriously redacted team photo, only to release the uncut and probably release date containing one later in the day. The uncut tweet is full of juicy details, as well as some of the silly things that were just redacted for laughs. To save you some squinting, here's the full resolution version, and then they show the photo. It's a bunch of employees with their hand over their eye, like Morgan is looking at his or her eye in the mirror. The whiteboard is what gives it away. Among the notable scribbles are the subgenre's ever-present 0451 passcode, multiple references to the moon, as well as references to CosmoCore, a rival operation to Prey's omnipresent and morally bankrupt Transtar. To reference the excellent Alien Isolation, there is Sigsun to your Weyland-Yutani.
Oh. That's interesting.
Most importantly is the date, though. Assuming American date format, we're looking forward to something being revealed or launched on June 10th this year. It sounds reasonable enough for a launch date, and Arkane have established a solid track record releasing expansions. June 10th, the day of Bethesda's E3 press event.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
liking
that.
Either they're launching, maybe announcing and launching same day. Maybe they're like, hey, new expansion for Prey. out today, or Prey 2 coming soon. Mm-hmm. So this is exciting because I really liked Prey as well. I'm not going to try to pretend like I love it more than you do, Philip, but I really enjoyed this game. They left the door wide open at the end of it for more things to happen in this universe. I thought the level design was really great. And I did have some issues with the game, overall, I will definitely want to see more. I don't want to see it go away.
It's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Did you get into Prey?
Didn't play Prey. No, not for me.
No desire to go back?
Mm-mm. No.
Why not?
I don't like those type of games.
What does that mean?
I like linear.
Those type of games.
I like linear shooters. I like the more the Wolfenstein style, just point A, point B. You're shooting some shit, trial and error type stuff. Okay. Way more than the
It's not
exploratory stuff.
Well, I would say it's not open world.
Yeah, definitely not.
But it definitely is more, if there was a way to be a Metroidvania game in third person, mm-hmm. It's kind of what it feels like. Very obviously System Shock, so. Yeah.
Well, there is, and it's called Metroid Prime. It's fantastic.
Well, did you play BioShock?
Yes. And that's the thing, is like
very reminiscent of BioShock in a lot
totally.
Of ways.
Totally. And I love that. And I like that a lot. I don't know. Like, there's certain things. BioShock, Metroid Prime, like, to me, I'm like, I'm good. When I hear Prey is all right, I'm like, I can pass on that one. I know some people really love it, but a lot of other people are like, people that I trust. I trust you.
Are you saying you don't trust me, Tim? Because I'm telling you, it's worth your time.
I know, but I trust. You know me. You know the games I like.
Yeah.
I don't truly believe that you think that I'd like this game.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair point. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening or watching this show and you've been on the fence, I would encourage you.
Check Prey out.
Yeah, it was good. Very good. I'm excited. I would love to see more. And June 10th, obviously, Bethesda's E3.
I'm excited for that. I wonder what they're going to do, because I feel like this is the first year that there's question.
Greg and I were talking about that, about how we don't know what's on the docket for Bethesda.
For a couple years ago, obviously, we knew Fallout. And then the next year, we knew that there was probably going to be Doom. I guess that was the same year. The following year, though, it was they had the Bethesda land. So they very clearly told us what was going to be there. There's the things under construction, and everyone already figured out going into it. But this, I mean, they still obviously have a lot of time to tease some things out, but Starfield and all that, we'll see. Andy might be very excited. Time to squad up. Silent Fury 007 says, I'm feeling a little down and could just use some general encouragement. If people just want to hit me up on Twitter and be cool to me, that'd be awesome. I'm at Silent Fury 007. Go send some sweet, nasty love to at SILENTFURY 007. 007. Send him some love. He needs that love. And you know, Silent Fury, if you're listening to this, I love you. Andrea?
Yes, Tim?
Can you go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and let us know what we got wrong today?
All right, here we go. Kebab says, Tim said that Kevin pouring the drinks on camera would be a fun time for everybody. It isn't for the audio listeners, especially since it was completely silent. But I do love how Kebabs has updated his forum user profile with all his little Lego guys.
I'm loving it.
So good.
Kevin's pouring me into the shot.
Let's go. Kevin.
Gia's picking me up, so I'm good.
I got to take a breather. Okay. I'm going to be a responsible adult.
Yeah, that's a good call. What else we get wrong?
Ear Gamer? I've never seen this guy before. Ear Gamer, IRR Gamer. The article's about 2 years old, but there is a major change of philosophy. The Cuphead Xbox PC exclusivity will always be there. Quote, Cuphead is lifetime exclusive on Xbox for the console space, but in the PC space, it's going to be on every platform we can. So we'll launch on PC and look into Mac and Linux thereafter.
Okay.
Good to know. Blanket Forest 83 says, we didn't shake on that bet. You need to lock it in.
$20. Boom, $20.
14 days.
Spyro.
Will
be announced in March. I got to be honest with you. They're running out of
time. Don't lie to me, Geddes.
There's times and places that this could be announced, and they're running out of them. Like, Activision's kind of been announcing a lot of shit, or there's been a lot of leaks and things in the last couple of weeks. So the fact that Spyro wasn't announced, and it was Crash being ported over. I don't know. Things aren't looking good, but I'm standing by it. I believe this.
This is an interesting one that I was going to bring up, but Charles J. did it for me. Significant news I believe you missed. Drac Trenton is back. Trenton announced today he has started a venture capital fund, Interactive Gaming Ventures, to invest money in promising indie developers. The fund will invest $1 million to $5 million per investment in 2 to 3 indies per year for the next 7 years. Trenton said in an interview with GamesBeat, I really longed for an opportunity to apply what I learned on the corporate side and go independent and pick my partners and have organic relationships, said Trenton. I did get a press release about this.
That's awesome.
He is partnering with the guy from Ark. Hold on. Let me pull this up really quick. Here we go. Joined by managing partner Doug Kennedy, the CEO of Studio Wildcard, who drove its mega hit Ark Survival Evolved to more than 13 million copies sold. Kennedy co-founded Reverb Communications, a veteran PR agency that helped launch the mega hits Guitar Hero, Rock Band, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. In 2009, Kennedy launched... Oh yeah, this is just more about him. And they have some things there. They have... dev support, marketing, public relations, community relations, basically what their studio is going to do. But he, of course, Jack Trenton, for those who do not know, was the former CEO of Sony Computer Entertainment America and a founding member of PlayStation's original management team. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Continuing on here. Fernando posted something we can skip.
Fernando.
Lord of Pwn, some useful information about PlayStation lifespans between new gens. PlayStation was 5.5 to 5 years before PS2. PS2 was 6.7 to 6 years before PS3. And PS3 was 7 years before PS4. Though many thought this was too long. 6 years from PS4 would be November 2019.
There you go.
So I'm thinking 2020.
Yeah?
2020, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Could be earlier.
Petey says you can plug an Xbox One controller in using any USB 3 cable and it will work without any batteries in the back if you're desperate. There you go.
Okay. Well, that's cool if you want to be really close to your TV.
Like Wes Bray says Zyger was a consultant on Omega Labyrinth Z.
Jesus.
I don't know if that's actually true.
It's definitely not
don't
true.
Don't take that for fact, ladies and gentlemen. Kebab says no news articles seem to exist noting a bump in Wii U sales after the release of Smash on Wii U.
But
I tried to find a Wii U weekly sales data for the weeks during Smash's release, but the closest I could find was that the 3DS version outsold the Wii U one. No surprise there.
Absolutely.
The lack of any articles about improved Wii U sales during the release is what is most telling to me.
People know no one gave a fuck about writing articles about the Wii U because they didn't perform. Like knowing the Wii U sales when it comes to it selling ended up at like 13 point whatever, it's Mario Kart and it's Smash. Like those are the ones that gave it the bump.
And Mario 3D says, and this is worth noting, Rainbow Six does let you buy cosmetics directly, but in their newest Outbreak event, they have also caved and added loot boxes, which I was very disappointed to hear.
They'll figure it out. They'll work through it. I trust in Yubi.
And that's it, Mr. Geddes.
That's it. This is a good show. I feel good about it. Next Monday, the host is Greg Miller and Khalif Adams from Spawn On Me. Remember, big week next week with GDC. Until next time, enjoy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow like we did today. And I love you.